Okay, welcome to the Jefferson County Public Hospital District Number 2 special session meeting on Wednesday, July 13th, 2022. This is still under the governor's proclamation 2028. We have ways that the public can access the meeting, audio only, or through the Microsoft Teams meeting, and both are listed on the agenda that was sent earlier that's online. So we will go, because it is a special session, there is no approval of the agenda. The agenda today is, the purpose of this special session is to have an update on the master site plan, and no action will be taken. This is being audio recorded, and times shown on the agenda are estimates only. We will begin with a public comment section. Is there anyone, do we have any members of the public who wish to make a comment? Besides oral comment at this time, you may also submit comments via email at commissioners@jeffersonhealthcare.org. or written and addressed to commissioners at 834 Sheridan Street, Port Townsend, 98368. And written submissions must be received by 5 p.m. the day prior to the meeting. So I'm still not given one more opportunity for the public to comment. Okay, hearing none, then we will close the public comment period and go into our work session. And Mike, would you like to take over here? And
yeah, just
thanks.
So I asked Jake and Dunya and Tyler and Kelly and Aaron to join me for this call. There's a lot of kind of just-in-time work going on with this project, and that group sort of makes up the nucleus of the Jefferson Healthcare team. Tina Toner and Chris O'Higgins and a handful of other folks are also involved, but that's the core group, and I asked them to sit in on this to provide additional explanation or information. So as you may recall, we are proceeding using the progressive design build approach. And the biggest difference with that approach is that you bring in an architect and a contractor and work with a project manager and sort of do what typically is done in kind of this two-step linear fashion, sort of at the same time. And while there are huge advantages to that, because the designer and the person who's drawing the drawings and the person who's going to be building the drawings sitting at the same table is powerful. And I think we quickly get to the best option, or maybe more accurately, we throw out maybe not so best options. On the other hand, it's not necessarily the most elegant process, because it's kind of like building a plane while you're flying it. There's a lot of stuff going on, but it requires perhaps more iterations than the previous process. And so that makes a little bit of two steps forward, one step back, two steps forward, one step back, which we have grown comfortable with over the last several months. But it may seem a little clunky to you. So my apologies for that. What I'd like to do today is sort of review four different iterations of how the box, if you will, that we need to build in order to put in all of the services that our community requires, where it can be sited, how it connects to the rest of the building, a little bit on shape of the box. And then at the end, the design team was kind enough to sort of put together some perspective so you can get an idea. Still very preliminary. Lots of time and space for, you know, more of that, less of that. Can we shrink the footprint? Can we expand the footprint? It is still sort of in jello form. But this is a far better and more advanced starting point than we were at in previous iterations. And I hesitated to show previous iteration documents and numbers because I just knew they were wrong. And you know, it's whenever the CEO makes a presentation and starts with, I'm going to show you something we're not going to build. you know, I'm sure the board is like going, you know, well, thanks for that. But really want to see what you might build. I think we're getting closer, but still a lot of work to do. So my goal is to show you these four iterations and sort of review the how they could possibly lay out, and they're similar but a little different. Review the existing service relocations, like where the MRI will go, where the express clinic will go, where nurse administration will go, and then review where the new service locations will go. You know, this is where we're planning the radiation, the linear accelerator. And here's the space that we have for the new specialty services that we want to bring in. Then I'm sort of interested in your comments on building siting, where it sits and how that fits. I think I got some good feedback the last meeting about what you liked and maybe what you didn't like about the sort of elongated proposal. I'll show you some high level perspectives of design features. So I'm interested in your input, and then a preliminary cost estimate. And it's preliminary. I think the good news is that it's conservative. There's so much we don't know about so many of the moving parts and pieces of the project. That there are line items after line items of contingencies, inflation escalation that add up to significant dollars. But the contractor is real good about, if I'm going to be off, I'm going to be off on the high side and not the low side. And as we get further down the row, after we complete soil samples and after we complete more engineering and after we get hard bids on mechanical, electrical, plumbing systems, then the risk quotient of these estimates will reduce, and the numbers will be more accurate. But it's a number. It's a number that we are using as a starting point. So that's what I hope to get through today. So if there are any questions or comments or things that you were hoping to also talk about today. Or, all right, you can add them on at the end. So, Alyssa, do you want to show the first perspective? And I sent these to you earlier. So basically, you're going to see a couple of different concepts. One concept is sort of a rectangular shaped addition attached to what we call the 65 building replacement or insert. So this is the in fact, let's start, Alyssa, maybe start with the next one that says level one, I believe. Yeah. So this is the ground floor of concept 5.1, and you will note it's different than the one I just showed you. I think that drawing was misplaced. This comment design has a little bit more of a design feature on the side of the campus closest to the castle, where it's in green right now, kind of the dog legs out. That is where our linear accelerator would be located. And the dog leg section of the building was designed to better accommodate drop off and pick up, where there would be a a very clear entrance, not only to the radiation oncology service, but as when I show you the next slide, the medical office space that's above it. And what is different about this design and the other ones that I will show you today is we are working on coupling radiation oncology with medical oncology in the same clinic footprint. This space footprint would allow us to move medical oncology down and be practicing right next to radiation oncology, which is really sort of the best practice comprehensive cancer center model. And while not a perfect fit, it would free up physician office space and exam room space up on medical oncology for dermatology to grow and meet their growth needs, and perhaps another specialty service as well. So because of the advantages of coupling those two services sort of clinically, we are looking long and hard at trying to make this happen. So that's the first slight change from what you may have seen. Right next to that on the first floor is will be Aaron's new dietary service, that both be the kitchen and the cafeteria. Get somebody to mute. That is centrally located. You'll note that it's there will be an entrance to accommodate new building, but also it's just a hop, skip, and a jump from the existing entrance. And that light blue space is actually corridor space. So you would be able to come into the new building and then just hang a right and go right into the cafeteria, or ESSB employees or 95 building employees could make their way to the cafeteria a couple of different ways. So the cafeteria box is checked off, and then we have to find space for environmental services, biomedical, and facilities. There's no question they need to have a footprint on the campus in order to respond to mechanical issues or the magic that Chris and his team does. It may or may not end up being there. This is just sort of a fit test of here are all the things that we were challenged to put into this size of a box, and here is where environmental services and biomed and maintenance could go. And then in the green on the other side, Express Clinic and MRI, they wouldn't be together. It just represents a block of square footage that could accommodate our existing, and I think it's like four or five exam room. So grow a larger footprint, Express Clinic, and then also a footprint for our new MRI, which, as you know, is currently in the 65 building. So these are the radiation oncology is a new service, but all of the other services are existing services located in the 65 building that need to be relocated. All right, next slide, Alyssa. And you might, if you could go back one to level two. Yeah. All right. So the second floor of this building would be on the castle side, our medical office building space. And part of that clinic would be designated for our OBGYN clinic. And now that with this model, we wouldn't have to relocate dermatology, just expand in place. We have one, two, three, four of those pods for new specialty services that that we would continue to do work with Jody Corona, identify the highest need services. We think we understand those, but we want to validate neurology, pulmonology, ENT, geriatrics. We want to validate out-migration and community need before we start with 2021 data, before we start configuring space and number of exam rooms and, you know, number of providers. So right now, this is just a big block of, I think, up to 36 exam rooms within this area, and it checks off finding a new home for our OBGYN team. And then there's a little notch for nurse administration, and that's the house supervisors team that also includes employee health and some of the other nurse administration functions that need to be in the hospital. And then, and this is a larger footprint than it needs to be, but the ambulatory surgery center and sterile processing unit in this configuration would be on the second floor. It's not just by accident that it's located closely to the OBGYN clinic that would likely be a big user of the ASC. And there are other surgical specialties that we would also look to that would rely heavily on an outpatient surgery service, that proximity would drive efficiencies and convenience. So the goal is to create a different type of surgical experience that improves the environment both for provider and patient. And in this design, it's on the second floor. And then if you go back two slides, Alyssa, I think we get to the third floor. Yeah, the third floor with these drawings that I'm showing you and with this cost estimate, we are, they include a shelled third floor, 20,000 square foot, big footprint of just shelled space. And for those of you involved in designing or opening up the ESSB building where we thought we were set for years and decades, you would understand our interest in embedding some room to grow while you have the chance. I think Mari asked last time, is it possible to build two stories and then later on add a third story? And the answer to that is yes. It's just really disruptive. Shelling out space compared to completing space is relatively affordable. So we're gonna start with considering this. And then when we get a better understanding of the financial picture, we can make the final decision. So let's go to the next concept, Alyssa. Next slide, please. And next slide, please. Yeah, 5.2. And this, if you can get down, if you can go to level one on 5.2, that would be great. Right here, yeah. So this is a similar layout. The blue ingress egress patient and staff corridor design is a little different. You'll note that it's on the parking lot side, and this works well from the perspective of people like to be able, if you can see where your car is at, and see where the entrance is, you have better orientation and easier navigation to what just inevitably are really confusing places like hospitals. So that's the thinking in putting in here. The design team so desperately wants to put this corridor on the other side of the building, because then it would open up to views of the water, which would be lovely, but we don't think it would be as intuitive and user friendly as placing it on this side. So that's why this concept has it on the parking lot and the ESSB side. But you'll note that the dog leg is no longer there. It's more of a traditional rectangular box, but Rad Onc and medical oncology and infusion is in the green section. And as you know, pharmacy plays a huge role in mixing some of the chemotherapies. And so there's a pharmacy up in the existing medical oncology, and there would be a pharmacy in this design as well. Then again, there's the remaining section of the footprint, we needed to get dietary and EVS facilities and the amount of square footage allocated to both of those services meets their plan, but there's not a lot of finesse in where the lines would be drawn or how things would be laid out. Again, it's just sort of the site fitting, and we still have more work to do. But I think you can bank on the procs about the placement and siting of dietary being there for many of the reasons that I talked about earlier. And then as you continue to move in that direction, you will see the Express Clinic and the MRI, and they do have it broken out in this design. But the light blue and the blue arrows try to represent patient throughput, and you'll note that right now, if probably the most prevalent requests for can you help me find some place is walking in the main door and then going down to imaging. So what we are trying to accomplish with this design is making those throughputs a little bit more intuitive and sensible. All right, level two, Alyssa, is that one back? Yeah, level two, similar design. We have the two suite ambulatory surgery center, and then there's kind of a little check-in area and sterile processing and nurse administration, and then the rest of the box being a completed medical office space waiting for us to determine, where the if it's kind of this big multi-specialty clinic configuration. Where you just sort of have one check-in area and you go down to this block for neurology, this block for pulmonology, this block for ENT, or if it's split up in some other configuration. We're mostly just sort of testing the space to make sure that the things we called out and wanted to introduce to our community would fit in this box. And next slide. Is again it shows the third floor shelf space that it just shows a little bit of a different configuration of where the through entrance and exit would be represented by the light blue. Okay, if you could go on to the next one, and let's see. Five. This is a sneak preview of what the building would look like, because I think we have one more design to look at after this. But since we're on it, we have mentioned to the design team several times that there needs to be consistency in exterior design features and architectural features, so that the buildings look like they are as close to identical twins as possible, but absolutely in the same family. And because we had a planning meeting last Wednesday and asked to see this work by yesterday, the design team was able to create this perspective, and there are a few more that I got literally 3 minutes before this meeting started that I will show you, and then forward those designs to you that give you some perspective on how it fits on site, how it connects, discussion that we had with the design team is just those sort of aesthetic things, but they understand, and when they continue to evolve these designs, they will incorporate finished features that will mirror, as to the extent possible, the ESSB. And this is the perspective from Sheridan, where the Sheridan and 7th, where the main entrance is, as you probably gathered. All right, next slide. Yeah, so if you could go down to level one, this is 5-3. Again, similar, the radiation oncology, medical oncology, with a drop off in front, and the employee and patient walkways towards the parking lot. A slightly different configuration of dietary and EVS facilities and biomed, and then a different configuration of nurse administration, which is on the first floor here. And then you have the express clinic and an MRI where they have been, I think, in all these configurations. Level two, please. Similar, ambulatory surgery center on the second floor, and then nearly all of our completed medical office space adjoining on the second floor as well. And then level three. Well, yeah, spoiler alert, level three is shell space, where I it's tucked here somewhere, but level three is just a floor of shell space on top of that design.
Yeah, Mike, this is there, and I don't think they put a level three for that 5.3 concept. Okay. I know Alyssa's looking hard, but I don't think they have it in there.
All right. Okay. And I think that takes us through all of the different drawings and iterations. We just saw these for the first time yesterday. I'm not in a position where I would make a recommendation. So I'm interested in any comments and feedback that you might provide just to help us formulate those. I went through where existing services would be located during the presentation, and also where RADONC would be located and our specialty services would be located. Talked about the big difference of bringing MedOnc and RADONC together, which in my mind is it will probably increase some first dollar spent costs, but over the long run, truly it's best practice in a cancer center design. So And then clearly the third floor shelf space is a feature that that ultimately we'll have to that we'll have to review as well. It gives us lots of flexibility and growth going going forward. No doubt about that. I will ask just since I have my project design support team on the line, are any questions about what you saw that needs clarification or additional info? Mari, is that a low tech way of raising your hand? Yeah, all right, gotcha.
Yes, a couple of questions. Currently, what is the square footage of the dietary, please? I don't have it to hand.
The existing?
Anybody know? Existing, yeah. Anybody know?
Aaron, you want to take a crack at that?
I believe they're close to between 3,500 and 5,000. I believe they're close to 5,000 currently.
So I didn't actually pay a lot of attention to the size of dietary in the first iteration, but the other two, well, one was 6,000 square feet and the second one was, I think, was 5,500 square feet. Given that, we're looking and expecting growth, is how I feel about this project. Is that enough space? That's my first question. Just something to think about. And then my second question is the MRI and the last iteration, or at least in any of them, thinking about how to replace the MRI when it comes due for replacement in I don't know how many years' time. I assume that sort of thing is taken into account because we can't drop it through the roof because there'll be something on top of it. So am I asking the right questions? I hope so, because that's a concern for me.
Well, it's a great question. That's you tend to see linear accelerators and MRIs. Well, we have an MRI in the middle of the building, and
exactly
that was a huge challenge in replacing not that long ago. So this placement that does take that into account. It still is a difficult process, but it's a slightly easier process to sort of move it out. Yeah. And I think I tell you what, Mari, when you start these design processes, and hey, we're going to add a new building or expand the hospital, it's always so exciting, and the first several meetings are fun, and then reality hits. Hits your goals and your plans, we're sort of at this place now, particularly right now in this environment, where we either really challenge the square footage allocated to each service based on what things cost to build, and try to squeeze those down, or we just lop off services. So I think we looked at, Aaron Stark has been involved to some extent too, but we've looked at the cafeteria at the new hospital in Gig Harbor, and other actually larger places to try to understand the size of their footprint. And I think we're pretty comfortable with between 5,000 and 6,000 square feet. Would it be great to have 8,000 to 9,000 square feet? And I think that first perspective we showed you did have more space, but boy, it also comes with a price tag.
I was going to say it's expensive space at the cost per square foot. However, yeah. Because of the our community demographic, and before COVID, a lot of our local community members used to eat the great food that Aaron Stark produces. I know often it was really pretty full. And so I just wanted to make sure that.
Yep, great question.
Whether anything happens or not, I don't know.
And it is part of the exercise, like Mike was saying, you know, we are in the exercise of figuring out the square footages and how they fit in the box. Tyler did put in the chat that the cost report reports the kitchen at just over 3,000 currently. So 6,000 would almost double their space. They did have it projected as large as 11,000, and we did pull that back. But we are it's the perfect comment because we're still in that role. If we need more space for dietary, now's the time to consider it, because right now we can flex the boxes.
Yeah, thank you.
I have a question, a comment. And I really am a proponent of keeping all of the oncology services together if possible. It would make it so much easier for our patients, not to have to go to different areas. Or I think just keeping everything together just makes a lot of sense if we can do it. And another thing, and this may sound too sci-fi or far-fetched, but we're still in a pandemic. And is there a way that in designing this, you can make sure that areas where the public has to be can be separated from other areas with that in mind, I don't know how you do that, but.
It's a great comment. And we actually thought of that certainly as pandemic advantages, but also that your lunchtime for staff is sort of a time to be off stage. And we wanted to create some sort of barrier so that staff, when they're having their lunch, feels like they're off stage and not necessarily still, having to be on and interacting with patients and customers. So that we will continue to keep that in mind as we finish the design. Case, I think did you have a question, Case?
Yeah, I wanted to follow up on Mari's question. I'm a little confused as to whether dietary, is that just the kitchen? And you're mentioning now of people eating and staff eating separately. I can't recall where in this iteration that you showed us, where is the cafe? Where is the Garden Row Cafe for public versus a place for eat for the staff?
It's within that box.
Within the box. Okay. Yeah. So when we're talking about how big is that box if it includes eating space? I think Aaron said kitchen is going from 3,000 to 6,000. What about the eating space? What's the size of that?
The footprint, the all enclosed footprint of the existing kitchen cafeteria for the new design is bigger than the existing, but we'll get those specific. We'll review those specific numbers because we did feel that, and plus we're making better use of the space as well. But that's a great question, and I'll ask Aliska to ask Aaron, or I'll ask Aaron if he could. Chase that down on what the actual square footage of the kitchen is, the actual square footage of the cafeteria of existing footprint, and then of new. Because you want to get right.
Just to clarify, the cost report numbers that I see from the last year was 841 for dietary, which would be the kitchen space, and 3,000, a little over 3,000 for cafeteria. So both of those would likely be bigger in all of the iterations that you just saw.
Thanks, Tyler.
Thank you.
All right. Well, go ahead, Tase.
Yeah, speaking of sizes, I didn't track well enough whether the different scenarios that you presented, did they have any significant difference in terms of the sizes of any of the spaces? Or is it mostly sort of where the corridors and where the travel goes and where the entrances are?
Yes, to the second part of that question, and also dimensions of some of the services that the budget page that we will go over is sort of set or best represents I think it's 5.2, but at this level it's safe to assume it represent, because the square footage is about the same, it represents the general cost of all of them. Now there's going to be proximity advantages and but kind of rounding errors compared to adding if one is 20,000 square feet more than the other.
Yep. Okay.
Looks like Matt has his hand up, his virtual hand up.
Yeah, just a quick question, if you can hear me. Are we not doing an auditorium? I can't remember if that was still part of this project, an auditorium. Thanks.
Well, there is a we don't show it blocked out here, and a question that we asked that there's it's not being shown here, but it is still something where it wouldn't be an auditorium per se, but it would we certainly feel that additional meeting room space would be necessary. I think that, you know, I'm gonna share with you a little bit of the pain I'm feeling, that at $1,200 a square foot, you in today's economic environment, it quickly minimizes some of your ambitions, and it's no fun for me to say that. But I will tell you that the original what we are showing you today is more focused on meeting the clinical service needs of our community. I won't call them bare bones, but we did start out with a larger footprint, a lot, as Jake refers to it, a lot more non-revenue generating space. I think that there's going to be this push and this pull there certainly is with on our side what revenue generating new service space do you not build in order to build out more staff amenity space or community amenity space, there will be lots of time for those discussions. But I tell you, it's an exercise in frustration because you want to say we need both. We want both. It just truly drives the price of this darn thing. That's a great question, though, Matt. All right.
Thanks.
Yes, I just want to reiterate what Jill said about having both medical oncology and radiation oncology in the same department. I think that would be essential. Just for, I mean, for the staff, for the patients, for everything, because when someone comes in and wants to know, you know, I've got an appointment in oncology, can you show me? Well, is it medical or I'm not sure what it is. And so I think it's essential pretty much.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yep. So the siting of the building that as was pointed out, in some earlier meetings, when we got through sort of the master site plan, which was done without nearly as many engineers' viewpoints and perspectives, and without any contractor. I think we may have had one contractor to provide a cost estimate, but certainly not a contractor to speak of the constructability of it. We showed the design on columns over the parking lot, and then connecting to the ESSB building, which we like the aesthetics of that quite a bit. And a couple of years ago, I think that carried with it $10-15 million price tag. there are significant engineering challenges to pursuing that model. Now, as you know, Bruce will accurately say, engineers pretty smart, and we could definitely figure that out. But it would most likely not be the most cost effective solution. And I think when we didn't spend a whole lot of time flushing that out when we sort of discovered that. So that's why the focus has been on the other side of the campus. But the bad news is that this building is gonna impair views of the SSB. The good news is that it's gonna create new views, and we are challenging our design team to develop as much cost-effective space as possible and preserve as many view corridors as possible. And you know, you can do that up to a point, but I think it's important to note that views will be impaired with this, particularly if we go up to the third floor of the shell space. Other than that, it lends itself pretty well to where most of our parking is, and creates a footprint. If we get the size and the mass of the building right, that I think will aesthetically improve sort of intuitive wayfinding and also just look of the campus. Any comments on the site that we are sort of focused on right now? Any fatal flaws from your perspective about that, or direction to maybe look at another site on the campus?
Looks good.
All right.
Me too, I think.
There's any members of a design team that are listening to this presentation, they just like a huge sigh of relief because they seem to think shifting boxes from one part of the campus to the other is a big deal. I don't really understand that, but so now before we go to the cost report, Alyssa, if you could pull up the new renderings that just came over, Did you see those? They literally came over 3 minutes before the meeting started.
Okay, yeah, I see them. Just give me one second.
And it's, we were talking yesterday with the team, and I thanked them for having the one rendering available. They worked all weekend to get that done. And then there was a couple of questions about, because, the scale on the campus and how's that going to look. And boy, it would be nice if we could have a couple of different perspectives. And that was yesterday at 2 o'clock, and they created these perspectives. So this is from, it's about pretty much where the bioswell is, down in front of the building towards the water. And we were interested in this perspective to kind of see how it would align with the 95 building. And while we are aiming to create design symmetry with the ESSB, it's different from the 95 building. So the boaters, out on the water that look up and see our campus will probably notice this more than the folks driving into park. Next slide. Next slide. And this gives you sort of a massing perspective. And I have to tell you, I was surprised that I thought we were designing a box about the size of the ESSB, a little bit bigger. But clearly that's not the case. We are stuffing a lot of important services into this, and it has to be of a certain size, but I think we're going to continue to work with them on configuring and designing and squeezing where we can just for campus aesthetic purposes. And is there another perspective, Alyssa? Yeah, I guess this is an overhead from if you had like a drone that flew above Sheridan and 7th, looking into the campus, you get a perspective of the building.
And I have a question.
Yeah, Mark, Jill, and Mark.
I have a question.
Oh yeah, please go ahead, Jill.
Okay. Are we still using where the X is there as the heliport?
Has it
been taken in? When it was originally designed, there were some flaws in it in real time when we had to take out part of the upper facade. And so I'm a little I'm concerned about any difference in configuration that might interrupt flow of air for the helicopters. Has that been taken into consideration? That is still being used and you have to kind of make sure it's not going to affect that?
Yeah. The assumption up to this point is that it will still be used, but we haven't asked those questions, Jill. So we'll ask them. Aaron Vallett, hate to put you on the spot, but do you have any recollection of the design or structural issues that Jill's referring to?
I believe that originally the screening that's on the water side up there went all the way across, and some of that had to be removed because it was kind of impaired their ability to come into that heliport. I think this new design is lower by a floor than that heliport, so there hasn't been concerns at this point. The design team is aware that we only use that rooftop heliport, that we don't have a secondary on campus, so they know that it's an important asset, and they've seen it. They've been up on the roof looking at it. We'll definitely make sure, because one of the things we'll have to put on these roofs, indicated by the additional squares, is the fencing around the mechanical systems. So we'll make sure that they are set back enough and low enough that they don't impede. But it's a little hard to tell from this perspective. But that section back there between the two buildings is lower. It's two story, not a three story, and so it's a full story lower, both in the ESSB and the 95 building.
Great, thank you.
Yeah.
All right, and also because a feature of this that you get a good look at from this drawing that we really haven't spoken a lot about, but one of the advantages of what we were trying to do with whatever configuration where we added more medical office space to is not make more congested an already pretty congested ESSB. We're up to 400 people a day that walk through the ESSB. And if you've been here at 7:30, it's there's a lot of people waiting in line for the blood draw station and just a lot of activity. And what drives a big part of that, in addition to blood draw, is physician visits. So when we were thinking about adding more physician space to the campus and trying not to make it any more congested, we thought, are there other entrance and other drop-off options? So this is the design team's sort of first shot at being able to accommodate that, and it would work pretty well, particularly for our cancer patients and the radon patients. But also there would be an elevator to the second floor, a kind of a lobby and an elevator to the second floor to get you to the where that big bank of clinician office space is. The downside to this is that it gobbles up a bunch of parking, and I won't talk about today, but we at some point will be talking about the need for I think about 100 plus new parking spaces to accommodate the growth. So we are trying to figure out a way to do that, in the most efficient and effective way. So another trade-off will be, do you swap this sort of easy drop-off pickup for more parking spaces? And I think I know the option we would prefer, but that may not be the one that we ultimately consider. All right, is there another rendering, Alyssa, or is this... Oh, Mari, do you have another question?
Well, the question I was going to ask just now was exactly Jill's concern, because, having been there the length of time we both have, it's those glitches that we had in the past can be quite concerning. Now, I do have a question regarding an earlier iteration you said about the ground floor, and then you're talking about the first floor. Is that the same thing? Because I'm wondering about the south, I guess is it more the east aspect of the proposed new EOB. That is on the hill. So is there anything under there for parking?
It's not for parking. There's a little bit of basement space for supply drop off, because you need to figure out a way to easily get supplies dropped off and then brought up to the building. So I didn't, I didn't spend a lot of time. I didn't spend any time going over the renditions of what that space looks like, because it's probably the part of this project that we'd like to avoid having to build a basement just for the purpose of supply drop off and delivery. But you got to have supply drop off and delivery. So the final version will probably include that, but in a way that possibly in a different design.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Well, since we're almost at time, I'm going to ask Alyssa to pull up the cost estimate.
Mike, so, I'm not sure if you sent that to me.
All right. I'm tempted to disagree with her and say I did, but I don't want to be wrong in a meeting that's recorded. Thought that I did. But I'm sending it right now to you. So the good news about working with this team is that they've done this work enough, and particularly in this construction environment where there are multiple contingency line items, just contingencies for unanticipated conditions, contingencies for owner, flaking out and saying, we changed their mind, we don't want medical oncology there, moving it back up. And then they call that risk register contingencies, and there's about $9 million of that. And then there's an escalation factor, and that is just pegging what they think the cost of construction will do starting now till when we're through with the project. You'll see along the top there, they've sort of broken it out by replacement building and site work. That's just sort of the primary building, the additional LINAC shielding equipment and special requirements, parking, $3 million line item for parking. So we are certainly interested in finding the most cost-effective solution there. The shell floor, that we asked them to cost out the shell floor differently. And then office temporary kitchen placeholder. or offsite temporary kitchen placeholder. What may not come immediately to mind is that when you tear down the existing kitchen, we still have to feed our patients and our staff. And so we've been looking at several different ways to do that. And what the most practical way, which is, you know, the least fun way, but the most practical way is to bring a temporary kitchen right on site. And they actually have these like trailer type of structures to do that. But it eliminates the need for transporting food from one kitchen to another kitchen. And as some of you may recall, we did that at with the middle school during our last project. And you know, Aaron made it work. And it's a challenge. But anyway, whatever we end up doing is going to carry with it a couple $1 million cost. So we included that into the budget. So the direct cost of work for what we've showed you is about $65 million. There's about $10 million of what they call risk register and construction contingency. And the risk register contingency is the contingency that I spoke of that that number will likely go down as we continue to bring on more engineers and we move these variables and estimates to hard numbers. I think we're starting pretty high, but 6.6% is a big number when you're talking about a $70 million project, but it needs to be there now until we answer more questions. And then the construction contingency is just unforeseen conditions and things where the owner and the contractor both say, "Whoops, we didn't expect that." Then there's the line of mechanical, electrical, plumbing, cutover, and temporary systems that we're going to be breaching some systems, but systems, but we're going to have to keep energy in the water and the HVAC systems flowing. So that always is far more expensive than you would think it needs to be. Then the next subtotal includes fees for the architect and design team, and that's just comes from the state rate on what these fees should be for a project of this size, and then it also includes civil and structural, acoustical, and food service and traffic. We're going to be soon doing a traffic study to understand the impact to Sheridan. Which frankly will be fascinating because you haven't done one since we were considering the ESSB. And my hunch is that Sheridan is a busier street now than it once was. Next page, Alyssa. Next page. Yeah. So these are additional what they call soft costs, so insurance, bonding, contractor liability, pretty big tax number, 9% of $86 million we should feel good about our contribution, mostly to the state. A couple years ago, I was kind of poking at David Timmons about the big tax applied to a public hospital district's project, and he pointed out to me that very little of that stays in Port Townsend, which is unfortunate. You think that if we're going to pay 9% of taxes, it'd be nice if most of that could stay here. Then below that, but right in the middle of the page is the escalation factor. That 1.085, that's basically the escalation being used to guesstimate the inflationary pressure that the project is going to feel between now and when we complete it. And comes to 8.5%. So that in and of itself is $8 million. That's a line item. And if you're wondering where that came from, it's based on a formula that applies past quarterly inflationary pressure. Well, I think we can all agree that it's unlikely the cost of construction will be less expensive in a couple of years than it is now. But I think we can also agree that inflation is probably not going to continue to plug along at 9%. So my thinking is that that number probably is overstated, but there's always escalation. So it's only $5 million. But it's nice to have that represented and following the formula it follows. And then the cost down at the bottom just capture the additional design build cost pre-construction. The biggest player there is total owner soft cost, and that's a higher number than normal because we have an MRI and a linear accelerator stuffed into it. So the only thing more expensive than building the walls of a hospital are, you know, paying for the equipment and technology that goes into it. So total is 125 at this juncture. So that's a ton of information. I sent that to you earlier so you could look at, and I think the only way I thought I could get through it is just do a flyover, but I will end where I started in that construction. You know, we were pointing out to our contractor team that, holy smokes, this is quite a bit more expensive per square foot than we paid for the ESSB. And they showed a chart that from 2016 through 2021 that captured construction inflation. And at the end of those 6 years with the construction inflationary rates of, 5-6%, even because construction inflation has been outpacing cost of living inflation, it almost came exactly, if we were building the ESSB in today's environment, it would cost about what this building is costing, which just took all the wind out of our sails. You know, we thought that there would be some wiggling room. So we still think that there's value engineering and there is squeezing down and through proximities of, boy, if you put this service next to this service, then you wouldn't have to have another waiting room and those sort of things. Heavy emphasis on downward pressure on the project. But ultimately, as the design team likes to remind us, that the biggest driver of cost is square footage. So in a couple of weeks when we are reviewing how we are going to fund this, we're going to ultimately have to make that decision. So I guess I'll ask the administrative team, did I miss anything? Anything else we think we need to bring to the board at this point? We got another balance with the design team based on this information, and there will be tweaks on all of these documents, and then I will get in front of you again next Wednesday, and hopefully at that point we'll have sort of line of sight on something we think will work.
Mari?
Well, I was just going to say, I think perhaps it might be good to clarify that this is the some approximate cost of this projected project, if you like, at this moment in time, but this is not the expectation of what we're going to ask the local community to provide. Would you like to clarify that?
Yeah, not by a long shot. Yeah,
exactly. I think we should make it clear as it's a public meeting. And because if I was sitting in my home listening to this, I would be freaking out right now.
Well, I think that's ultimately the decision that we're going to have to make. What I will do is we have been working with financial consultants, Jeff Fivecoat, the same rep consultant who helped us finance the ESSB. And Tyler has spent time trying to understand the cash reserves that we could apply to the project and the debt capacity, basically the mortgage that we can take out, and then all of the other sources of funding. So, we think it's, given our cash position right now, a cash contribution of $10 million is a manageable thing. Based on the services and the revenue that they will generate, and our overall financial position, $40 to $45 million of debt, that takes us up to the level of Tom Dinkus saying our debt to equity ratio is no longer low, but it hasn't exceeded high. And then we are working aggressively with state and federal governments, and I think we have $2.5 to $5 million plugged into that category. And there's some really exciting work being done with the foundation, and that actually has some funds that were earmarked for cancer services. But I just noticed where the Pullman Hospital is proposing a new facility, and they're going to go to their community for a bond, and their foundation is going to try to raise $5 to $10 million. So I think that that's an avenue too. So our hope, Mari, is that we get nearly half of this particular number, with hospital contribution.
Great. Thank you. I appreciate that, because as I say, if it wasn't made clear, it might be misunderstood. Thank you.
I'd like to say a big thank you to the design team, as well as, of course, to Mike for all of the hard work that's gone into this and the obvious detail and thought processes that have been used during this. Look forward to more.
Jill, I'm sure you're aware of this. There's a hand up from Sound Publishing, a guest, and I'm just wondering if you're looking for questions from outside of this group before we get, quote, public comment?
We actually did have a public comment period.
I'm just saying that I see a hand up from Sound Publishing, and just want us to consciously decide if and how we want to deal with that.
I was waiting for the board to be finished with the questioning, and then at that point I will call on that person. Is there any other board interaction? Any other questions, comments?
Well, just a comment that I want to commend our team. I mean, this is incredibly fast turnaround on some very big and complex issues. And I'm just very, I'm just amazed at how much this whole team effort is able to produce every week. So just want to say that.
Yeah, I second that. Thank you, Mike and the team, for this has been very helpful.
Great. lots of people leaning into this, this progressive design build model has over delivered on this sense that we're all working together. And I think everybody on the Jefferson Healthcare team would agree that it's a different type of work, that it feels like everybody has the same goal in mind, and that's pretty powerful stuff. But thank you, Case.
Any other questions from the board? Okay, I will now call on Sound Publishing, and has their hand up. Have a question or comment?
Can you hear me?
Yes, now we can.
Okay, good. Okay, great. Yeah, this is Paula Hunt with the Peninsula Daily News, and I just wanted to ask a couple questions. When do you think you will be ready to present, you know, renderings and a package to the public?
Well, there's another board meeting a week from today, and then a board meeting on the 27th. And while the intent of this process isn't to have kind of a fully developed project that includes, you know, all the operational details and design details, but more so getting us to a place where the financial pieces are understood, and the board can decide how best to proceed. Sure. So we will be at that place 2 weeks from today.
Okay. The deadline to get on the November ballot is August 2nd, correct?
Yep.
Correct.
That is correct. So you are working. Is it your desire to have something to present to the public before August 2nd?
Yeah, we intend to do that at the July 27th board meeting.
That's when you'll make a decision about whether to put it on the ballot. Is that correct?
Yes. If the goal is the November ballot, yeah, we're right up against the deadline. But yes.
So I just want to make it clear that people will have an opportunity to take a look at the renderings and the package and the budget before they go to the polls on August 2nd.
Well, this will be placed. In order to get it on the November ballot, we have to submit the ballot initiative to the assessor's office no later than August 2nd.
Right.
So I guess that's the deadline for November vote is August 2nd. And then the thinking is that we will have 3 months to continue to present and continue to seek feedback and continue to engage with the community.
Got it. So there will be opportunities. I guess I'm just getting at, people will have a chance to review this before it gets out there. Is that correct? I just want to make sure, because I've had people ask, like, well, what's happening? And I'm trying to explain this iterative design project in which you are building the plane and flying at the same time. I mean, it's this iterative process. And so people are like, well, when do we get to see something? And I'd say, well, if I showed you two on Tuesday, by next Wednesday, it will be different. But you will have something that's like, this is what we are asking you to find, to help us.
Well, I guess there's a, I'll say that in a couple of different ways. There's a couple of different ways to approach this.
Okay.
The hospital in Quincy, for instance, they are going out, I think, in August for a $60 million bond in order to build a new hospital. And they are also now just reaching out to engage their design team. So their pitch is going to be, we need a new hospital. We think we can build one for $60 million. If you agree with that, vote yes. And then we will proceed with the design process. On the other end of the continuum is the approach we're using, where we're trying to identify as what we're going to build, the services that will be in it, what it's going to look like, to some extent before the board decides to put it on the ballot, but absolutely before we ask the voters to vote on it. Okay. So the approach has been, you know, let's figure out if we can do this and for how much and what the financial requirements will be by the July 27th meeting. If it is the board's desire to vote to put it on the ballot August 2nd, a bond amount, levy and amount, and then spend, you know, August, September, October, and the first of November engaging with the community, because it's not, you know, the project, many of the design features and square footage and should the cafeteria get bigger or smaller, that's not over until it's until we actually start framing the space. So that there will be lots of time for that type of feedback. We actually feel that this approach where we have as much detail as possible before the election makes for a more informed upvote or downvote. Lots more work to do, lots of time for community engagement, and we'll be educating the community to the extent that they are willing and interested over the next 3 months.
Great. Thank you so much. It's really helpful.
Yeah, you bet.
Okay. Any other questions from anybody? Comments? All right. Then if that's it, then let's go ahead and conclude this meeting.
So move.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor? Aye.
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 Aye. Matt? Aye.
Okay.
Aye.
Thank you, and we'll see you all next Wednesday.
Well, thanks. Bye.
Great work.